We pick which new team has the best chance to win in their new conference year one. Klay Thompson signs a deal with the Dallas Mavericks after 13 seasons with Golden State. And we tell you who invented the beverage cart in golf. Check it out and more on a Fun Day Monday edition of Crane and Company. Hey, everybody out there listening, appreciate you guys, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, something else cool that we don't know about on audio. Leave us a 5-star review and keep sharing the show so we can keep growing, so we can keep going, and we can keep sowing as well. This upcoming college football season is going to be different in a ton of ways. But when it comes to which new team in a power conference, which one has the best chance to win that conference in year one? To me, there's only one team that stands above the rest, and it's not just because of the elevation. Talked about this multiple times, and that's Utah. And it's for a multitude of reasons. I wanted to list a couple of them. First, their physical style of play translates to any conference and was really the main reason they were able to ascend consistently in the conference formerly known as the Pac-12. It's going to translate. Number two, they return elite personnel and important positions like Cam Rising at quarterback, Brant Keithy, who remember started in front of Dalton Kincaid, who's now with the Bills. And they added Dorian Singer, who's an elite wide receiver, through the portal. That's going to be a nice little three-headed monster, and I like their stable of backs. Next, they return 5 offensive linemen that started a game last year, including their best offensive lineman and their leader at guard. 4, the Big 12 is more gettable than it's ever been now that Texas and Oklahoma have left. None of these teams are super familiar with Utah outside of the teams that were in the same conference as them before they all ended up in the Big 12. 5, the schedule sets up beautifully for the Utes with no Kansas State, and the toughest road games are at Oklahoma State, which is scary, but let's see how this Ollie Gordon arrest situation plays out because it's early enough in the year where it could have an impact. And finally, Kyle Whittingham could just flat out coach, man. It doesn't matter the circumstance. The guy knows how to get the most out of his players. And if the key elements can finally stay healthy for Utah, and I know that's a big if, they're going to win the Big 12 this year. Bringing my co-host, former Michigan quarterback David Cohn, who saw Lloyd Carr with a Notre Dame hat on. He's still in shape.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking about you.
Then my brother, former Western State Colorado wide receiver, Blaine Crane. And look, I didn't a hot take that Utah's going to win the Big 12. They're favored. They've got the best odds on Bet Online right now. I know some other sports books, they're tied with K-State. But when I look at all the elements that they have, and I know they lost Jonah Ellis, who was their big-time sack guy last year, but they returned 8 starters on that defense that should still be really good. I know we're going to talk about some other ones in Oregon going to the Big Ten, all that stuff's great. But if you were a betting man, I don't know how you wouldn't put your money on Utah to be the new team in a new conference that wins it year one.
Utah's a good pick. You are right. They are the betting favorite right now to win the Big 12. That's plus 320. They are not the favorite, though, to be the team that wins their conference in their first year. That right now is Oregon at plus 215. So a couple of the odds here. Oregon being in the Big 10 now, plus 215. Utah, like we mentioned, plus 320. Same exact odds for Texas to win the SEC, plus 320. Then after that, it starts getting into the thousands. Arizona, 1,000. SMU, plus 1,600 to win their new conference, the ACC now. USC down at plus 2,200, and Colorado's at plus 3,000 right now.
Yeah, depending on how you talk to Colorado might not lose a game this year. I think there's two teams you can realistically look at right now and say they have a chance, and that's Oregon and Texas. And I'm looking at this Texas team right now. When I look at the stuff like this, the first thing I'll look at is what? Who do you have at quarterback? All right, that's the guy that's going to move you consistently from week to week, who's going to have to win you certain games in the SEC especially, and I believe Quinn Ewers is probably going to be one of the best in the nation, and I wouldn't be surprised if he won the Heisman. And if you look at their schedule, it's not great. All right, you have an early week test, week 2 at Michigan. If you want to see who Texas is going to be throughout the year, you're going to watch that football game. Because when we talk about Texas, it's what? It's physicality, right? You're never worried about Sark or the offensive pieces that they brought in, Isaiah Bond. I'll never worry about Texas on offense. Schematically, Sark is too good. But I like what they did in the transfer portal. You went and filled that D-line, your O-line, you're bringing back 4 starters. You went and got three pieces in the D-line. You got a kid from Arizona who's going to be talented, and you filled some spots in the secondary. You don't have to go get 40 guys in the portal, right? You need to get strategic guys to fix certain problems. And I think Texas is a type of team that is built to win big games. They have the money. They have the depth. So to me, I think Texas has that Georgia game. That Georgia, it's going to be tough. All right, but I think Texas can be a shoe-in to maybe win the SEC.
Well, again, nothing would shock me like when it comes to Texas. But when I look at the reason when we were talking about this before the show that I had Utah number one, big gap, and then Oregon two, and then an even bigger gap between them and everybody else is, yes, Texas is talented. Nobody's doubting that. You brought up the offensive line, one of the best in the country. But you are going into the SEC. Right, as opposed to Utah going into the Big 12. Not that the Big 12 sucks, or that it's a down conference, even without Texas and Oklahoma there. I mean, heck, Oklahoma State's going to be interesting, right? You look at some of the new teams. How's Houston going to be this year? Kansas State, we'll see who kind of fills that vacuum. You know, Arizona going in the Big 12, you know, at the end of the day is going to be interesting as well. But I just don't think Texas has the same chance. If what makes Texas more likely than Utah to you?
Well, one, you picked Utah, so I can't pick the same team. and two, I think from a depth standpoint, Texas compete with the best. You saw them roll against Alabama, who's one of the best in the SEC at Alabama. I mean, with Texas, it's a physicality thing. That's what it is. And look,
I agree.
And Sark's come out and he said that, and he's gone to the transfer portal. He's gotten pieces to fix that, but you won't really know until you see on the field. That's why that week two matchup against Michigan, who's going to show you whether or not Texas will be able to live in the SEC because they might not throw it once. So I think Texas, if they can win that, all right, if they can win that, and whether the Georgia game is at Georgia, at Texas, I can't remember, but they'll be good enough. It's in Austin. They'll be good enough to play with
Georgia. Here's the for these three teams, Utah, Oregon, and Texas. Utah first. Southern Utah. Baylor at home, okay. At Utah State.
Okay, let's stop there for a second. We talk about circumstance, right? Circumstance dictates outcomes most of the time. You got to catch breaks. What just happened at Utah State? Blake Anderson got put on leave, and they're going to fire him for something that happened off the field, which is a shame to me. I know Blake. I like Blake a lot. So Utah State's not going to have a coach. There's one road game where you feel better about.
At Oklahoma State.
Ollie Gordon, is he going to play in that game? Just got arrested under suspicion of DUI. You take him out, Oklahoma State. It's a lot uglier with the makeup off than with them.
Arizona at home.
Should win it.
At Arizona State.
Should win it.
TCU at home.
Should win it.
They go to Houston.
Should win it.
They get BYU at home.
Win.
They do go to Colorado. Iowa State at home, and then they finish at UCF.
I mean, the UCF, to me, that's probably right now the hardest. Again, if we're saying Oklahoma State does have Ollie Gordon, obviously it's not going to be easy. If they don't have him, that makes it easier. I just look at that schedule. You get Arizona at home. Mm-hmm. Who's going to be tough, even though Jed Fish has gone to Washington. Utah State doesn't, you know, their coach is gone now with Blake. Unfortunately, I hate it for him, but it's the truth. I mean, I look at that schedule. I mean, at the end of the day, it's going to be hard for Utah to me not to go 11.
Yeah, no doubt. Here's Oregon. Idaho at home, Boise State at home. They go to Oregon State. Remember, that's no longer a conference game now. They go to UCLA. Michigan State at home. They get the Buckeyes at home. We've been talking about that all summer. They go to Purdue. Illinois at home. They go to the Big House to play Michigan. Maryland at home. Wisconsin on the road. And then they get Washington at home.
Yeah, it's, again, Oregon to me was number two. And I'm going to say this right now, and I know we don't make our sturdy predictions until after fall camp, and that's the smartest way to do it. But I want to go ahead and throw one out there right now. And I did it on social media a couple days ago. Oregon will beat Ohio State at home in the regular season. Oregon will be.
Well, then they'd have to do it in a rematch to win the conference. Assuming that was the
for sure. I think Oregon beats Ohio State at home and loses to Michigan on the road. I'm telling you, just the Spidey senses.
Like the way you think,
Spidey
Jake.
Spidey senses in that one. Oh, I know. As a Michigan alum, I know.
Now, here's Texas. Colorado State at home. Like Blaine said, they go on the road to Michigan. The year they joined the SEC, they got the defending national champs on the road in the Big House. UTSA at home. UL Monroe at home, Mississippi State at home, Oklahoma Red River Shootout, so that'll be neutral site. They get Georgia in Austin. They go on the road to Vanderbilt, so they're coming here to Nashville. they get Florida at home, on the road to Arkansas, Kentucky at home, and then they go to Texas A&M, which we've been talking about, which that one's a little saucier now.
That Georgia game is going to dictate a lot, because you look at a lot of other teams on that schedule, Texas is better than.
No Alabama on there. No LSU on there.
No Ole Miss.
No Ole Miss on there. Missouri.
No Missouri.
No Missouri on there. So very interesting. Here's the thing, though. So we were breaking this down in terms of best chances to win their new conference. What if we pivot it and say, which one of these teams could go the farthest in the college football playoff? Would you still stick with Utah?
You know, To me, I wouldn't. I would say Oregon. I would say Oregon out of those three teams. And Texas would probably be two. I'd probably have Utah three. But here's where Utah's is dangerous to me, is that most people would think that. Right, I think Utah, and I said this, you know, before last week, I think Utah has a chance to do damage in the playoff. Now, if you told me, Jake, who do you think is going to go the furthest between Texas, Oregon, and Utah? Like I said, I would go Oregon 1, Texas 2, Utah 3. But I think Utah kind of being as sneaky as they possibly could, making the playoff outside of being in the Big Ten or in the SEC, we'd have to see the matchups. But, like, nobody would be shocked if Utah, let's say, beat Alabama in the playoff, in the first or second round. Would anybody truly...
Well, and if they won their conference, it wouldn't even be in the first round.
Yeah, they'd get a bye.
Because they'd get a bye.
That's true.
If they were the conference
champs. So it'd have to be at least the second. So that's how I would put it.
I agree. All right, let's get to this chat. Hit that like and subscribe button. If you donate, it's on topic. It will get read. We're going to start the day off with Rico. Rico, what's up, brother? He says, what about my Oklahoma Sooners? Can we see anything, maybe an 8-4? Hopefully better than 7-5.
Plus 8,000.
Yeah, it smells like 8-4 to me, and here's why. And again, we got to make sure we're separating short-term and long-term. Over a five-year period, I think it's a toss-up between Texas and Oklahoma. Who's going to have more success in the SEC? Year one, I don't think it's a crazy thing, and Rico, you probably agree with me. Texas has a better team year one going in the SEC than Oklahoma. Here's where I worry about Oklahoma. I love Venables. I love the guys they return on defense. But it is a very, very dangerous game, and it's a borderline death sentence to try and go win the SEC with a new quarterback, a green quarterback, mm-hmm. and you lost almost 14,000 snaps on the offensive line. Okay, just think about that. All right, you have to replace everybody. I think 9 guys total. You never want to make, you'd much rather not have either. You'd much rather only have one, but you have the mix of a new quarterback, a young quarterback, who I think Jackson Arnold has got a bunch of talent. I think he's going to be good down the road. But you mix that with an offensive line that doesn't have a lot of chemistry together, even though you brought in guys that have played before. That is a dangerous mix going into any conference, let alone the Southeastern Conference year one. 8-4 to me.
Let's go to Tim. Tim, what's up? Says, USC, we know, will be a top 10 offense. They have an average defense. They can be a Big Ten champ, I believe. What do you think of that, Blaine and fellas?
Well, I mean, I don't think it's a guarantee USC is going to have a top 10 offense. I got to see Miller Moss first. Now, you know, we talk about how good of a fit Utah's style of play is going into the Big 12 because they're physical. That translates everywhere. USC, to me, is walking into a nightmare for a couple reasons. One, physicality is just not y'all's thing, at least right now, right? Which is weird because old USC it was. I remember watching USC come in and headbutt Auburn 23-0 and used to beat people to death from a physical
That team
standpoint.
Was so good.
Now you get ran through like a finish line. So I think going to the Big Ten is not a great remedy for a team that's on the West Coast in sunny California, going into a conference that wants to get in 12 personnel, and it's 10 degrees in November.
Yeah.
I think USC's in trouble. I think Lincoln Riley will officially be on a very, very hot seat going into 2025. A
couple things going for him here, though. They don't play the Buckeyes this year. They don't play Oregon, which is really fascinating, but they will have to play Michigan on the road. They will have to play Wisconsin. They get Penn State at home. They go on the road to Washington, and then again, in the non-conference, opening with LSU and then closing with Notre Dame. So two non-conference games there that are huge.
I hate the fit of USC in the Big Ten. If I was a USC fan, I would hate that fit, right?
But doesn't it force you to change?
It should.
It should,
but that's over time. Mm-hmm. Like, what, you're just going to all of a sudden flip that switch? Now USC, Lincoln Riley's just going to go totally away from what his kind of identity has been. Not that Lincoln wants to be soft on offense. Hell, you know, they run the power pass as good as anybody mm-hmm. off play action. But I just don't know if that's a light switch that, oh, we got rid of Alex Grinch. Now we're going to have a bunch of tough asses run around the locker room going and playing.
If it's me on him, like, whatever you can throw it on us all you want, you ain't running it. You ain't running it, damn it. You can throw $400 on us all day. Will you prove a little point? Let's go to the bad tutor. So let's show NC State some love. ACC's wide open. DJU and Miami are going to be a disappointment. I think maybe they can get over the hump this year.
Well,
they're not new to their conference.
They're not new to their conference, correct.
Unless something has happened that I haven't heard. I do wonder and worry about Grayson McCall's health a little bit, but it's hard for me to sit here and say, oh, I doubt NC State because Grayson McCall's had health problems. But yeah, Cam Rising in Utah, who seems like Cam gets hurt every year. But guys, that's another thing, too, you didn't bring up about Texas. Like, at some point, Quinn Ewers, you're either Mr. Glass or you're the
everybody,
beast, man.
Everybody. Same thing with Oregon. Dylan Gabriel's got to stay healthy. His ass can't stay healthy.
Yeah, it's
Quinn Ewers can't stay healthy. No quarterback, other than Jalen Milroe, out of the top five guys, what quarterback has really
Carson
stayed?
Carson Beck.
But he's 1 year.
Stayed healthy, though?
Hmm?
Has Dylan Gabriel,
No, he's had multiple.
UCF, I think he broke his wrist.
That's what led to the first transfer. But,
He's had shoulder problems. He has knee problems. Yeah. If you watch Dylan Gabriel will throw his body in front of whatever. That's one of the knock on Dylan Gabriel.
He's a little guy.
And he's a littler guy. So Dylan Gabriel has to stay healthy as well.
Yeah. Again, the phone line is going to open up 2:45 p.m. Central, 1-855-236-3228. We want to know, what you guys think. I think SMU sneaky too, guys. Ashley may be the most underrated head coach in college football. And right now, if it goes the way I think it's going to go at Arkansas, he may be the next head coach at Arkansas. I'm going to go ahead and throw that one out there, too. Go back and look at the past. All right, let's go one more.
Yeah, that's what Jamie has. He said, what do you guys think about SMU? Maybe an SMU-Florida State first-year ACC championship.
Let's go to SMU's schedule real quick.
They're plus 1,600 to win the ACC right now.
Obviously, you look at what Clemson has coming back. It's going to be interesting to see with Cade and Garrett Riley, the OC there.
Okay.
In his second year. Let's go to SMU's schedule.
Okay, week one, you're at Nevada.
Okay.
Week two, you play someone terrible. I don't even know who that is. Week three, you're at home, BYU.
Okay.
Week four, TCU at home.
Okay.
Week five, FSU at home. Then you go on the road to Louisville, on the road to Stanford, on the road to Duke. Then you have Pitt at home, Boston College at home, at Virginia, and you finish the season with Cal.
Dude.
So no Miami in there. No Clemson.
No Clemson in there, right? No, you get FSU.
You said
at
Florida
home.
State at home.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Give me the road games real quick.
Road games at Nevada, at Louisville, at Stanford. Talking about a team no one's talking about is Louisville. At Stanford, at Duke, and at Virginia.
So Louisville.
Louisville's
a tough one.
That's your toughest road game.
And that's early in the season.
Dude, Rhett may win 9.
Hmm.
I hope he does. I love me some Rhett Lashley. Speaking about what else I love, sportsbooks where it's easy to bet, right? The payouts are fast. You can change your wagering amounts, like your limits. That's why our sponsor is betonline.ag. And you know what? They even put out odds on what gender my child was going to be.
A
little bit later. That's why they're my favorite of all time. But even beyond traditional sports, BetOnline lets you bet on political events. If it's happening, you can probably bet on it at betonline.ag. Like I said, they have higher than average betting limits of up to $25,000, and you can increase your wagering amounts, all right, by contacting their player service desk by phone or email. But again, the website is so easy to navigate. You can get paid out in many different ways. You don't have to worry about it. There's not delays, any of that stuff. So go to betonline.ag to place your bets today. And if you use promo code Booster, BOOSTER, you get a 50% instant deposit bonus of up to $1,000. So you put $1,000 in, they give you $500 on the house. That's betonline.ag. Use promo code Booster. BetOnline, where the options are endless, and so is the fun. All right, let's move on. We're getting back to Booster Club.
All right, first one up here for rapid fire reactions. Dan Hurley and UConn have agreed to a contract extension. 6 years, $50 million. Not quite the, $70 million from the Lakers?
Well, you're not in California, so
yeah,
is it?
Fair enough.
Is it? I thought this was going to be, hey, Dan Hurley got an extension, 6 years, and he's just going to get paid Connecticut.
The whole state.
We're just going to give him
Connecticut.
That
wouldn't be enough.
Any of the money that the state of Connecticut makes just goes straight to Dan Hurley. You had to do this, right? I don't know if you could spend $50 million in Stores Connecticut if you wanted to. If you could just go and throw it away, I don't think you could spend it. But look, UConn's, they're here. I don't think they're slowing down anytime soon either. So good for them. You've gotten to a point now where your coach wanted to stay there over going to the Los Angeles Lakers.
That's my question is, did they have to do it though? Because if he already turned down the Lakers, in a position where
from people that I know and I trust, they said they're, the president or the AD, or the president, not the AD, from some people that I trust, said that after they won the second one, you know, went back to back this past year, the president was like, well, why do we have to pay him more? If they're already winning, why don't we just... Yeah. And like somebody's like, what? I don't think you understand...
Yeah. How this works.
Exactly how this works.
Surely they won't three-peat though, right? Oh, surely they won't.
I'm not betting. I'm done betting against them.
Who knows the things they got walking on the basketball court?
Yeah, right, I'm done betting right against now. Them. Mm-hmm. I can promise you that.
All right, let's stay with basketball for a second. We were wondering if Klay Thompson would stay with the Golden State Warriors after 13 seasons. He's moving on. He's going to be a member of the Dallas Mavericks now.
I mean, yeah, cool. Like, what Klay are you getting?
Yeah.
Right? You're not going to get great defensive Klay, right? I don't think that player exists. And what's the Mavericks' problem? I mean, at the end of the day, yeah, you've got, and I know Luka and Kyrie didn't go nuts in every game offensively, and the Celtics were a buzzsaw. I get it, but man, like, I guess nice veteran player, like, good for him, I guess. This one doesn't move the needle for me.
It's just weird to me to see Klay Thompson not in a Warriors uniform. It's like that dynasty at the Warriors is done now. That the Klay, the Steph,
it's been done, hasn't
the Draymond. It's over, and I don't know if we'll see a dynamic three like that in a long time, especially with Klay and Steph. But I don't think this got the Mavericks any better. I don't think this got the Mavericks any closer to winning an NBA title. You better get some enforcers on defense if you're even going to show up to make it that run deep into against those Nuggets and so certain teams. I don't think they're close.
Maybe the Mavericks need that crazy player. Like, remember Lance Stevenson?
The Mavericks need a Drew Holiday.
Like, you just need that, like, insane person, like Draymond, the way Draymond. He just the absolute Sean William Scott goon off the hockey movie, which is also called Goon. So
if yeah, Klay will stay healthy, that'll be a win in and of itself. True. You know, what other NBA moves were there?
I believe we had a couple. DeMar DeRozan got traded to the Kings.
Okay, Harrison, no problem, man.
Yeah, but I mean, the Kings are young. They're good. Like, you're starting to see certain pieces. This is why I kind of love some of the parts of the NBA when it comes to trades. It's they know what they're looking for, and they know exactly what they need, whether it's a two, a three-way, a one-way, a shooter, a wing, a jumper, a defensive guy. That's why we knock on the Mavericks. It's like the Mavericks know exactly what they need, but it is sometimes you got to get a reliable car.
Yeah.
All right, a reliable – go get a Buick.
Give me that Al Horford.
Give me Drew Holiday. Please, God, give me Drew Holiday. Give me a guy who prides himself on defense and go score 8 to 10 points a game.
Yeah.
That's what the Mavericks need.
All right, next one up, college baseball. Caden Kent did withdraw his name from the transfer portal. He's going to stay at Texas A&M.
Yeah, you've had a couple guys from A&M get out, and this is what we were talking about, you know, when we had Richard Zane on, who was the reporter who asked Schlossnagel that question and kind of got dressed down a little bit. Remember, the transfer portal, you can hop in. All right, you can walk in the shallow end without going in the deep end. What do I mean by that? You can go in there and hang out to do one of two things. One, see who the new coach is that gets hired. Do you feel good about it? Or leverage that with NIL against the team where you're at, saying, well, you know, if you guys don't give me what I want, then I'm going to go somewhere else. Glad to see this. And you know what's crazy? The new head coach at A&M, his brother played at South Alabama and was younger than me, Nolan. So I got to give Nolan a shout out there. And I know he's pumped about his brother.
All right, last one up here. Georgia signed. How big was this kid? 6'11"?
Dude.
So we got to stop him. We got to stop him.
What does Georgia put?
We got to stop him. Like, we got to do something because you can't have this guy.
6'11 and a half.
They're stealing from 7-footer Island for the football
team. 6'11, Dave.
Yeah. So he was on the team that I think won the biggest AAU tournament. And now he wants to play football. He's a 3-star. And look, how good, just because you're tall doesn't mean you're going to be great. Especially up front. But when you look at Georgia's average height and weight of their offensive line class, it's 6'6 and a half, 345 pounds. And some people be like, oh, well, that's too big. You can be too big. I'm going to tell you something, all right? Kirby, they evaluate. Like, these aren't guys that are just big. I promise you they can play. Now, he's a late addition to the class, this kid we're talking about right here. And I don't know, I've never seen a 6'11 guy, but there was Arkansas had a monster, this big white monster.
And he was 6'11.
His name was like Dan. It was like Dan Tompkins or something. He was, but this like seems like the player that when you go in on the, speaking of the new college football video game, and you look up the parameters of like getting the freakiest guys, like the most athletic guys you can find, like that run 4.3 that are 6.6, this is like the one guy that pops up. I feel like Kirby's like 6.11. Hey, let's try it. That's it.
Yeah, you bet Kirby watched that tape and he saw things that he can grow. Because like, just because you're huge doesn't mean you're good.
Yeah,
sure.
Right? Like we watch Alabama's offensive line with the biggest thing in the world. Hell, they couldn't protect anybody.
Yeah.
All right, but what I guarantee Kirby's watched his tape. There's certain things that
he
likes.
They don't take bad players.
Yeah, certain things he likes about this kid, he'll get him to where he needs to be.
Yeah, Georgia doesn't have bad players. They prioritize size, strength, and obviously ability. And look, it's tough to prioritize your health. Okay, David, especially if you're not sure where to start. However, it's not just about making a decision. It's about making a commitment to a better quality of life. Y'all like that segue right there? And with Lumen, all right, our friends over there at Lumen. That's why I love mine. What is Lumen? Blaine asks as he looked down at his card.
What is Lumen?
God, Blaine, I'm so glad you asked that while looking down at your card. It's the world's first handheld metabolic coach. Pretty simple. It's a device that measures your metabolism through your breath. You just breathe in your Lumen first thing in the morning, and you know what's going on with your metabolism. If you want a scouting report to get healthier, you need to know the numbers, the tendencies, the percentages, right? What are they going to do on third and four when they're on the right hash and they're in 10 personnel? This is your Connor Stallions, all right? This is your Connor Stallions. What sets Lumen apart is its ability to understand you on a personal level, all right? You're not just getting a device. You're getting a health companion. Like I said, breathe into it before and after workouts and meals and get real-time insights into your body's metabolic response. So you want to take the next step in improving your health. You want to feel good. You want to look good because that's the only way you're going to play good. Go to lumen.me/booster to get 15% off your Lumen. That's lumen.me/booster at checkout for 15% off. Thank you, Lumen, for sponsoring this episode. We love our Lumen.
Love Lumen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We love Lumen.
We just came up with that jingle. Y'all can use it if y'all want. All right, we got the phone lines open in about 17 human minutes. Let's get to the Booster Club before we move on.
Okay, the Hog Wild wants you to know that you were talking about Dan Skipper.
Dan Skipper!
How did you remember that?
Because Dan, I got a...
What is wrong with you?
I've got a disorder. It's something. It's something.
What did Dan Skipper do again?
He was huge. Dude, I swear Arkansas had two of them. All right, but Dan Skipper, and he may have been 6'9". All right, but he was a monster. Like, literally a monster. Like, I thought the mountain off Game of Thrones was this guy. He could have played it. Can you imagine just being that? I think he played for the Patriots, too. I may be wrong.
I wouldn't be surprised if he played for Heaven's Army.
No, why not? He's basically Xerxes' son.
I played with a kid at Michigan. He was 6'10". He was probably 330, 340. To your point about being big doesn't necessarily make you a great player. He wasn't a great football player. He was a walk-on from in-state. Great guy, too. Love this guy. But his first 2 weeks there, they were trying to get him to hit weight and lose weight, and he just wasn't. The weight trainer said, run him around that field until I tell you to stop. And get out there with him to make sure he's not finding any baby Ruths out there.
Hey, I'd say something funny. I went to high school. And I'm not going to say his first name, but his last name was Baker. And we had a 7-footer. All right, 7 foot. And like legit 7 foot. And he played basketball. But he was terrible. You want to know what's awkward? Seeing somebody 7 foot that's bad at basketball. But the craziest thing about it was he was like... Just shows you God has a sense of humor. He was like a top 10 Halo ranked player in the world.
No way.
He was 7 foot, got hung on the rim one time during the game trying to go. No.
He got hung on the rim?
No. His last name's Baker. I'm not going to say. Yes, got hung on the rim during the game. 7 foot tall, terrible at basketball, top 10 in the world in the Halo.
Crazy. I went to high school with DeMarcus Cousins' brother.
Yeah.
He didn't get hung on the rim.
Jaleel. He was 6'10 and terrible.
It's an awkward thing, dude. That's tough.
Dan Skipper's 6'10", 340 pounds, and he's on the Lions right now.
On the Lions right now.
Really?
Skipping his ass up to Detroit. Big ass Dan.
Big dumbass Dan.
Big huge ass Dan.
All right, let's go to Boomer 129. SEC lower tier team bias is Blaine's condition.
What? What does that even mean?
I read it hoping that y'all would know.
What you mean, like the teams and the like? This is what is hilarious to me. There is no conference out there where every team is awesome. There's no conference out there where every team is terrible, right? So you have some conferences that are deeper than others in certain years. But to sit here and I listen to people say, oh, well, you know, the SEC is really just, it's Georgia and it's Bama, and everybody else is just really kind of okay. So, number one, that's just wrong. Like, it's just wrong. You're going to find out. Like, you're literally about to find out in real time. This is why I can't wait for the season. But if you want to argue to me that the SEC is not the best college football conference, it's the easiest argument ever for me to win. Because all the numbers, all of them, not one of them, not six of them, all of them will tell you the SEC is best. Now, look, Vanderbilt is terrible.
Well, that's what I was going to say. He's the one that was standing up for Vanderbilt having expectations.
Yeah, I mean.
So we're talking about bottom tier.
I mean, look, you can still suck but have expectations. I mean, those two things can coincide with each other.
Yeah.
I mean, when I'm going to come in, it's like, hey, guys, we're going to be terrible all year. All
right? Well, I think that's
we're not going to win a game. All right? No, Professor X is going to get out there, get inside those kids' minds, all right, and put those expectations. All right, let's go to Ashton, 1230. Ashton, what's up? He says, hey, guys, a little late to the party. But I didn't hear any of y'all bring up Colorado's chances of winning their conference. Give me your thoughts.
Well, I said they were plus 3,000. Yeah. I gave you their odds.
There's a reason we didn't bring that up. Not trying to be a prick, but they're not going to win the Big 12. They're not. I'm telling you right now, I'm worried for them with North Dakota State week one. And now with Ollie Gordon and Oklahoma State, I'm worried about Oklahoma State week one against South Dakota State, who's really the new North Dakota State. If that makes that Rubik's Cube of comments can be put together. Colorado is going to be fun to follow. They're going to be fun to watch. They are not winning the Big 12. I will eat two hot chips back to back if Colorado wins the Big 12.
Let's lessen it a little bit. What about if they go to the championship?
If they go to the Big 12 championship, I will eat two hot chips. And I do, y'all know me.
I'm the biggest Colorado football fan.
All right. No, I'm telling you right now, I will literally eat two of those hot chips.
You said there was nothing that you would ever bet the hot chip on again.
That's how confident I am in this. Let's read their schedule real quick. Okay. And again, I'm not trying to be, Ashton, I'm not trying to downplay what you're saying. But I'm also trying to kind of downplay what you're saying because read this schedule.
All right, you want me to tell you what's going to happen? Here's what's going to happen.
All right, week one at home, North Dakota State. Barely escape. At least right now, I don't know. I may change.
All right, then you're on the road at Nebraska.
Loss.
On the road at Colorado State.
Are they on the road or are they playing them at home? They're on the road?
Yep.
Loss.
Really?
Really.
Loss. I'll give them a win on that
one. I think that's a win. Let's go to Baylor at home.
Win.
At UCF.
Loss.
Kansas State at home.
Loss.
At Arizona.
Loss.
Cincinnati at home.
Win.
At Texas Tech.
Loss.
Utah at home.
Loss.
At Kansas.
Loss.
Oklahoma State at home.
I'll give you a win on that.
So, let's say Ollie Gordon's playing by then.
I'll give you a win. What's that, three? Three or four? I'm sorry, man. It's just not happening. It's like, look. Like, sometimes she's just better looking than you, dog. It's not going to happen, right? You got to move on. Lower your standards a little bit. You know, look in the mirror. Play a game of who can I really take home.
Oh, man.
All right, let's go to Jeff Roy. What's up, Jeff? Who do y'all think has the best shot winning the SEC this year? Neutral field right now, Georgia, Texas. Who you taking?
Georgia.
Georgia.
Taking Georgia. I do want to see that, and this is weird to say, and we talk with Rusty Manziel about this, Georgia's defensive line. Like, well, you know, they may not be as good as some of the past years. Got a feeling they're still going to be pretty good. Yeah. There's some cats running around that they got. And, you know, every year you're not going to have some of the monsters.
Well, two of them will still play for the Eagles one day.
That's exactly right.
All right, let's go to Zachary 1350. He says, hey, fellas, love the show. I'm really excited about SMU this year. I think they might have a shot. Give me your thoughts.
Yeah, we went through their schedule early. I mean, is SMU the one new team that people aren't talking about enough in that conference? We say no Clemson on their schedule, no Miami on their schedule. I mean, you read that thing off earlier, dude. I mean, I feel like 9-3 is almost a floor with what they have coming back. Don't forget what Rhett and them have done, especially offensively, the past couple of years. I mean, they were able to keep Rashee Rice in line. That's an amazing feat on itself. But no, I think SMU is Pony Express, baby, kind of back in the relevancy seat. You got to love to see it. All right, let's get to best and worst. But before we do, one thing that is definitely the best, all right, is we know starting anything from the ground up can be tough. But Shopify makes it easier than ever. Hit that noise, David. We rich, y'all. That's the first thing y'all should think, all right? What is Shopify? It's a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the, we just launched our online shop stage, all the way to the, we just hit 1 million orders, we're going to Turks and Caicos stage. All right, Shopify is there to help you grow. They turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout rate, up to 36% better than other leading e-commerce platforms. Our marketing team uses it every day to sell our merch, which, by the way, make sure you get some of that Crane & Company merch as well. So no matter how big you want to grow, all right, or how slow the start is, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business or whatever you're starting to the next level. You can sign up for a $1 per month trial period. It's $1 per month at shopify.com/crane. That's shopify.com/crane. Head over there right now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/crane. Hit that noise, David. Shopify, electrify your wallet. All right, phone lines are opening up in 8 minutes. Let's get to best and worst, David. You want to start? You want me to start?
No, I want you to start.
All right, I'm going to start.
The best first.
Here's the best. Girl dad, son.
Yes,
yeah! The gender reveal.
Let's go.
That's right. Me and my wife have created a female human person that is almost 14 weeks old. We got the video just to set you up. This is at our shout out Rhino, our audio guy, him and his wife, Kristen. It was an incredible event. And we didn't know. So we did it. I know some people laugh at gender reveals. My wife wanted to do it. So we did it. Here's a clip. Blaine's throwing it. And look at the kid. Still got that open stance. Ready to make that ball dance. Let's play the clip.
Boom.
Oh, hands inside baby. Out. Hands inside out.
I wanted anything to be higher than lower. I want you to be able to see it.
Yeah.
Okay, inside out, great pitch, man. I'm so happy for
both of you. Yeah, my wife's ecstatic. You know, absolutely ecstatic. I am too, obviously. So Viola Leanne Crane.
Oh, you already got a name.
Viola Leanne.
That's locked in.
I'm going to call her. It's locked in. It's locked like me up there with the bat. I will say we did a couple, Blaine threw a couple rocks before. Mm-hmm.
You got a couple practice swings in. The swing looked good, kid. It looked like you haven't lost
it looked good. Inside, you know, I'm a pull hitter. I had some people say, how did you not pull the ball? Well, the ball's up and out.
Yeah, you go with it.
Sometimes you got to go the other way. Let's go to right center, you know, get to second base, shoot our arrow at the dugout, and let's get ready to
score.
What
a great time.
Yeah, definitely my best. Time. So excited about that. Just want everything to go good. Don't want to jinx it.
I love it.
All right, I got two bests here from the weekend. So Frank Bensell Jr., golfer, back-to-back hole-in-ones. Back to back. There aren't even odds to calculate for back to back hole in ones. But they have it at 1 in 67 million for 2 hole in ones in the same round.
So were they two par threes back to back?
Yeah, one of them was 182, 183, and then the second one was like 205, 207.
Dude, what do you do after you hit the second one? Do you just stop?
Was this at a tournament?
Yeah, this was at the Newport Country Club, the U.S. Open Senior, the U.S. Senior Open.
Dude, no.
What did he end up
shooting? There we go, 184 and 203.
Oh, that's a lot of squares.
4 and 5.
Frank Bensell Jr. Does he look like he worked with Jimmy Hoffa back then? That's incredible. That's had to never happen before, at least on the senior tour, right?
I mean, y'all tell me.
That's crazy. I never thought that would ever happen.
Second best here. So when I was playing football at Statesboro High School, we had an offensive line coach named David Nord. One of the best coaches, man. Great guy. Had a newborn baby. This 18 years ago. I held this baby in my arms. Mm. Well, that baby is now 6'3", 280 pounds.
Yes.
Offensive lineman. And guess what? He just committed to play college football at Army.
At Army.
What?
At Army on 4th of July. Cole Nord, shout out to Cole Nord, congratulations. Yeah, not just going to play college football, this guy's going to fight for our country.
For sure, those guys. That's why, again, I want the Army-Navy game to be the standalone. I want it to be a standalone so they can have the spotlight for that one day. But no, that's awesome.
Man. All right, my best, I don't know if y'all saw it, but gameplay has just came out for the new NCAA game, and I'm excited, y'all. We have a clip.
You're excited, so you like
I'm excited after watching gameplay, the new passing technique. Let's go ahead and roll this clip. Boom.
It looks smooth.
I love that.
Yeah. Okay.
It's not blocked.
Is Donovan Edwards playing the game?
Donovan Edwards playing against some guy, I guess who's some big guy for EA. Donovan beat him by 40. So I don't know why this would be their guy, to be honest with you. But it looks smooth. You know, there's a 20-minute clip of gameplay. I watched every second of it.
I'm excited
because it doesn't look like Madden. That's what I was worried about the most, that it was just going to be a shell of what Madden is. And the way it moves, the way the people are running, the way the defenders look at their assignments, it looks different. It looks fluid. So I'm excited about it.
Good. Well, if you were the one who was a little bit skeptical, Hippo, right, about whether the game was going to live up to expectation, it's all about the gameplay. We went through all the rules. We know we're doing the dynasty and all that. So good. I want to see the triple option. I want to see if it's still as saucy as it used to be.
Yeah, I hope it is. It looks a little bit better.
All right. Well, if we're going to do best, we got to do worst.
Yeah.
And my worst, and this, you know, it's something Blaine's going to talk about, something different, but it's in the same form. Ollie Gordon for Oklahoma State. Now, he was arrested under suspicion of DUI, DWI, whatever you want to call it. Refused to take the breathalyzer test and went back to the station. They found, you know, and again, it's alleged, right? They found open tequila and vodka in his car. Here's number one, regardless if you're a star running back, if you never played sports, if you don't play sports, drinking and driving is just, it's dumb. It's dumb, number one. It's preventable, number two. And you put other people's lives at risk, including your own. I just don't understand for the life of me how if you're somebody like Ollie Gordon, who your whole world is ahead of you, you're going to be an NFL player, you're going to make more money than you've ever imagined, and you've made good, right, on the breaks that you caught to give yourself a chance to do this, why you would go risk that and not just call somebody? Or we have Uber now with our phones, you can go straight to the app. It's just one of the most selfish things. And listen, I've made mistakes before. I'm not perfect, right? I'm not going to sit here and say I've never done it before, but you know, it's those things where you look back and you're like, man, I was lucky. Like, I was lucky, and it's an unnecessary risk. So, Ollie Gordon, get it together, man. Get it together. Your future's too bright.
What's yours?
My worst over the weekend, Kyrie Jackson died in a car wreck, a drunk driving accident. Two others died with him. I had the opportunity to coach Kyrie at Fort Scott. Nobody's perfect, okay? Everybody has flaws. Kyrie Jackson was a good person.
Good?
Yeah, he was a good person. He was a great football player, and he was getting better as a person every day. And he showed up to man, the smile from that kid is contagious. It used to brighten my day every time I saw him when he was in my position room. And he fought and fought every day to get to where he was, to get drafted. So proud of him. When someone's in your position room, it's family.
Yeah.
I love it, Kai.
Yeah. Again, we were together with when Kyrie was there. You know, it rips your guts out either way, right? You know, when if you knew him or if you didn't, but especially if you knew him and you knew what Kyrie bounced back from to get to this point. Kyrie was going down a path, and I'm talking about before he got to Bama, this is because we had him in junior college. He was going down a path that was going to lead to him not fulfilling his potential and something bad, you know, happening off the field, which it's such a awful part of irony that this happened when he turned his life around, was working in a grocery store, right, to try and turn it around. And then you get to the point where you go to Bama and then you go to Oregon and then you get drafted by the Minnesota Vikings. We just saw him down at the Senior Bowl. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to the person that, and again, it's still ongoing, but they believe the person that killed him and Isaiah Hazel was a drunk driver that swerved over. And just it just, you know, the part that hurts the most outside of Kyrie not being here is that he turned it around. So many guys don't. There's so many guys out there that have so much talent, but they waste it away or do something stupid or find every excuse not to make it. This was one of the rare cases where somebody did turn it around. And if you knew Kyrie, and that, I'm not going to give that Rico Nose guy. Like, he put out a video talking about how he heard what a bad person he was. I'm not, that dude doesn't deserve any time. You knew who Kyrie was. We knew who Kyrie was. And the world's a worse place without without Kyrie. Not just because he was good at football, because he turned his life around.
So. Well, rest in peace to him and the families involved in that. Yeah. Mine here from this weekend, I saw this on Awful Announcing. You said they were quoting someone else here when they asked, is Bronny James the new Tim Tebow, where the celebrity coverage dramatically exceeds the on-field impact? And I'm just thinking, are we talking about the same Tim Tebow who was a Heisman Trophy winner and two-time national champion?
Well, you know, I've seen multiple things on this. Number one, on its face, it's just a terrible comparison regardless. You look at what Tim Tebow won, first off. And I think part of what Awful Announcing was talking about was that Bronny James is on, his picture is front and center after he scored 4 points, went 2 of 9 from the field, 0 for 3 on threes, 0 for 2 at the free throw line, played 22 minutes. And the Lakers lost, but Bronny James is going to be on the cover. And I saw they were saying, oh, well, they meant Tim Tebow playing baseball. Well, let's run that thought experiment out too, though.
Baseball.
Tim Tebow played minor league baseball, okay? Got a chance to get some at-bats and play minor league baseball. This, the only way you could say this is like Tebow is if Tim Tebow just went straight to the Dodgers. Just straight to the Dodgers, right? And made the opening day
roster. It's a completely
roster.
Different sport.
Like, it just...
Well, baseball, that one makes more sense. But still, he would be on there because of his previous athletic accomplishments as a football
player. For sure.
Not just because he's some other guy's kid.
No. Like, who's Tim Tebow's father? Jim Tebow? I don't know. Rick?
Him.
Him yeah. Tebow? Him. It's probably him Tebow. But no, listen, and part of this, look, I don't blame Bronny James for this.
No, of course.
I don't blame Bronny James that he's only going to score 4 points. And then he didn't ask to have his picture up there.
No.
But we're going to get Bronny James force-fed down our throat 24-7. Can you imagine, like, just him playing in an NBA game? It could be a big-time matchup, and he may play 3 minutes. It's all anybody's going to talk about. Like, it just... I don't know. I'm already sick of it. But the Tebow comparison, that sucks.
Bronny James needs to start learning Chinese right now.
Ping pada ting tong ting.
That's what he's not an NBA player. He's not an NBA player.
Clearly he is.
No, he's not.
And he's gonna be.
No, he's not.
Clearly he's gonna
he
be.
He is not. He will be playing in China. His dad will retire sooner or later, and he's going to go to China and play. One's going to play him if LeBron's not there.
Oh, that's true.
He's
Why
just gonna
you?
Buy the team. Just going to buy the team,
Jackie
and
Moon.
Hey, my son is a starting point guard now. No chance.
Yeah, well, go buy the Wizards.
Yeah, Jackie Moon. All right, phone lines are open, David. You tell me when you're ready to rock and roll, dog.
All right, let's go to CD. He says, going to be fun watching Jake eat those hot chips. Maybe get a little mud butt after this year.
Oh, some MB? That's the worst. We used to call that a Yugoslavian slip and slide.
Got to love the Slavians. Let's go to Matt Riley. Been a Laker fan my whole life, but I refuse to watch until LeBron is gone.
Good for you.
Good for you, man.
How are y'all getting mad at LeBron?
Good for you.
Good for you.
How is this Bron's fault? Oh, sorry, my son's on our team. My bad, guys.
Well, like, my thing is, I think he's unserious about winning a championship. Mm. I think he's unserious about it. And you can say, oh, we drafted him with, like, the 45th pick or whatever. No, you need all... You guys are gonna... The Celtics just won it. The Celtics just won it, and you're still going to take your son. Y'all did get Dalton Knecht at 17. That was a great pick, but you could have got somebody else who's going to be better than Bronny because there's a lot of them. Hell, I can find 3 of them in this zip code that are probably better than he is.
All right, let's go to DC. Says, listen, say what you want about Tebow's baseball career, but the stadium for the single A team he was on was never more filled than when he played. Him hitting a home run in his first at-bat is the loudest I've ever heard a ballpark get.
Oh, yeah, it's... And again, that's great. Minor leagues. It's hitting like he's starting at third base for the Braves. Like straight after not playing baseball. It'd almost be like if Tim Tebow did a batting practice session and he missed like half the balls, which you just can't do in BP. They're like, no, let's draft him. Let's draft him off potential. Absolutely crazy.
All right, let's go to Andrew 13. Andrew, what's up, man? He says, why does it seem like when guys make it big or about to make it big, they do something detrimental that will ruin the rest of their life?
Well, I think it's just human nature sometimes, right? Like, that's why it's you know, you see people that win the lottery and then go broke in like 5 years. Some people can handle prosperity. And look, people do dumb stuff all the time. I mean, that's just part of it. That's never going to stop. But some people, you know, just like you can't handle adversity, can't handle prosperity. It's like I'll never understand somebody's mega, like the Deshaun Watson thing. Why are we going to get, why are we got to do it this way? Why you got to go get those massages? Now, you're a starting NFL queen. You know how rich you are? Robert Kraft is old as hell, all right? And Bill Belichick is old as hell. Look at the chicks they're with. You think they love them? Right? You're a good-looking NFL starting quarterback.
They love them.
You're going to get massage. You got to go out there and...
And they talk about philosophy.
Yeah. Okay? You got to sneak in the back door of massage parlors and get an old-fashioned? Come on, dude.
All right, what a transition here from old-fashioned to Justin. Could Brock Vandergriff be a top 10 quarterback in the SEC?
Yeah, I think he could be top 10.
Top five.
Top five, no. No, not at least.
After what Graham Mertz did, like anything's possible.
Anything's possible.
I saw Graham Mertz in Wisconsin and got worse.
Yeah.
And then he gets a Florida.
Slinging
the pill.
Here's the thing I want to see with Brock. I do want to see the accuracy. I was talking about this with somebody on social media the other day. He's got all the, like, you look at the physical characteristics and the arm strength. I think a lot of it is the accuracy. But when I look at him going to Kentucky, you know, not a lot of people are talking about him being a new quarterback. We hear about all the quarterbacks in the transfer portal. And, you know, you got Dylan Gabriel now at out at Oregon, right? You got Cam Ward now at Miami, Grayson McCall now at NC State. Not a lot of people talking about Brock Vandergriff, and I'm interested to see if Kentucky is going to get back to being kind of the tough-natured, win-up-front team that helped Mark Stoops elevate Kentucky to the point where we're like, look, Mark Stoops is the best coach in Lexington, better than Calipari. So we'll see. I hope so. I like Brock. I like the way he handles his business.
All right, let's go to Captain Mac. What's up, Mackie? Says, Blaine, I like your take on Texas. I'm a Texas fan myself. I like what Sark did on the defensive line. Do y'all think they will be physical enough to compete with the best in the SEC?
Compete? Yeah. Yeah. Look, I don't think Texas, you know, and this was their biggest problem. And before last year, we always said that Austin was just basically Club Med. There's just a bunch of soft serve ice cream going out there. And that's the truth. Right? That's the truth. But what I saw last year from Texas, what they returned on the offensive line, what they did defensively in the portal, I think Texas will be tough enough to compete. The question is, will they be tough enough to consistently win games against super physical teams? And we're going to find out really early, because we can say what you want about Michigan's passing game and losing what they lost. Michigan's going to say, let's play a game of downset hut, and I'm going to run it right at your face. And you're going to have to make a decision. Either you're going to stop it, or you're going to stop it a little bit, and then the dam's going to break. So, yes, I will say yes to Texas. I think they have turned the corner, though, physically.
All right, let's go to Billy underscore USA. Hey, Jake, we still suck at soccer.
I'm glad you brought this up.
Me meaning the United States?
Yeah. Yes.
I'm glad you brought this up. And I got into some pretty heated discussions with some people that are soccer experts. Because I was sitting there watching Germany and Spain play. I don't expect this to be as good as Germany or Spain. I'm not saying that. That's really all they got sports-wise, right? But at some point, can we win something? I'm sick of the excuses. That's all you see on social media. Outside of Alexi Lawless, everybody just makes excuses. Oh, well, you know, It's the academies and how hard it is, you know, the way soccer works in the United States. I'm not asking us to win the World Cup. I'm just, at one point, can we do something good in men's soccer? Y'all continue to suck. It's Pulisic and everybody else. And you can sit here and say, oh, Jake, well, you don't know soccer because it's just, that's the way it works. You know what? I'll tell you what I say on the show. If I want to hear excuses, I'll interview prisoners. I've given you two ways to make the soccer team better. I can fix immigration and soccer in one fell swoop if you give me the power. Or we can do it the long way. We can take the long way home. Operation Pentadexterity. You've heard me say it multiple times. But we'll just continue to get our pants pulled down and laughed at like the fat kid at recess every time we play in a tournament against teams that are worth their own salt. I'm still going to be like, guys, guess what? We just beat Costa Rica.
Oh, great. Good. Costa Rica. 12 people live there.
Who would you want to beat to be like, you know what, we made it? Spain?
I would love to beat Spain, but I'm not asking us to beat the best team in the
Argentina.
Yeah.
Brazil. Let's beat all of them.
Can we beat Uruguay?
Reminds me of this excerpt from Patton's speech in Patton when he said, Americans love a winner and will not tolerate a loser. Americans play to win all the time. Now, I wouldn't give a hoot in hell for a man who lost and laughed. That's why Americans have never lost and will never lose, because the very thought of losing is hateful to Americans.
Well, so
where's that mentality?
We're like, that's just the way it is.
That's the way it is.
Our guys are too busy getting lower back tattoos.
That's the truth. All right, let's go to Jimmy Lee Baker. Jim, what's up? Is OSU overhyped for the 12th year in a row, or is it serious this time?
13th year in a row.
If you're talking about Ohio State, I don't think Ohio State's overhyped at all. I mean, I think they got a top two roster in college football. If there is a crack in the armor, and it's something I've said consistently, it's I don't know if Will Howard, if they do run up against a Georgia or run up, you know, when they run up against Oregon on the road or somebody that can stand up to them up front, I don't know if Will Howard can make the 5 to 7 throws necessary in a game in tight windows consistently for them to win, to get over the hump. That's my only question. Outside of that, Ohio State's a Ferrari right now, dude. I mean, look at what they have offensively and defensively. Look at their offensive line, what they have returning. Look at the things they have returning on defense. And I know that the offense is going to be a little bit different with Chip Kelly there now. They're going to do some more RPO stuff with Will, which they should, right? That fits him really well. I think it's something he can do. But if you're talking about national championship or bust, which is what Ohio State's talking about, and beating Michigan, obviously, I just don't know if I trust Will Howard to be able to make those dot throws that he's going to make.
Funny enough, he's the one who came out and said, it's natty or bust.
And that doesn't make me feel any better about it.
Is he starting?
You know, I looked at Carson Beck's interview with his dead eyes like this. Carson Beck was like, well, I'm just out here and just play football, Georgia. That's what I want to see.
Like a doll's eyes. All right, we got callers on the line. Let's go to Bryson in Salt Lake. Jimbo? Bryson, what's up?
What's up?
What's up, dude?
I've been wanting to call in for a while. You guys were talking earlier about like physicality with quarterbacks and that kind of thing. Dude, a couple years ago, we were at the Pac-12 championship. Cam Rising took a hit so hard that his helmet came off, got up and smiled at the dude and told him to try harder. Like, when he's going out because of injuries, it's not like, oh, my foot hurts, you know, like the LeBron James, like.
It's like catastrophic.
Know, like, toe looked a little weird, you know, like, it's like torn ACL, like, blown knee, like, it's crazy stuff. Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't think people realized how bad that injury was. Like, he tore basically everything. You remember last year Utah was flirting with, oh, he may start against Florida week one. He may start. Oh, he may start week two. Then week four, they're like, yeah, he's in a wheelchair. He's been in a wheelchair for 6 months.
Well, yeah. That was the crazy thing. During spring ball, they were saying, you know, by week three, he's back. By week three, he's back, you know? And then week three comes, and he never comes back. And then he let it slip. Just on an interview with a local guy that he was done for the season.
Yeah, well, look, in Utah, that's a gamesmanship type thing. Mm-hmm. Like, you want that other team to have to prepare and not know, hey, Cam Rising may come back, he may not.
And that's going to pay off this year a lot.
But you want to know where just, I'll go back to Kyle Whittingham, which is why I believe in him so much. You got your third string quarterback starting game one last year at Florida. Third string, because remember, the backup got hurt in what, fall camp? It was fall camp, Bryson?
Yeah.
Last year?
He got a lacerated liver.
Yeah, lacerated liver. Not a fun thing. Your first play you run when you get on offense with your third string quarterback is a play action bomb.
Touchdown.
And you hit it
for
72. Kyle Whittingham, I was like, I tell you what, man. My favorite.
But don't we think Utah's going to have a tougher time than they did in the Pac-12 and the Big 12?
What tougher time?
Do you think that, like, defensively, do you think Big 12's a tougher conference than the Pac-12 was?
Physically, overall?
Keep in mind, it's not the same conference with Texas and Oklahoma.
Yeah,
true. But I don't think, Texas or Oklahoma went phenomenal on defense.
I would say if you took the Big 12 now, as it is, not with Texas and Oklahoma, and then you look at the Pac-12 last year, I know the Pac-12 had a really good year, but I think this Big 12 is harder. But when you look at Utah's schedule,
There is no Kansas State. Mm-hmm. You do got to go to Oklahoma State, but it's early. We'll see with Ollie Gordon. I brought up the Utah State and Blake Anderson thing. Outside of at Oklahoma State and at UCF, nobody on there really super duper. You get Arizona at home, which that one's going to be tough, but I'm telling you guys right now, this new coach at Arizona, I don't know. He's a guy from San Jose State, right? Looks like a great guy, but Jed Fish, a hell of a coach now. Like, I'm trying to. Everybody's so gung-ho about Arizona. And you may be right. But again, there's a reason Utah's got the best odds to win the conference.
Appreciate it, Bryson.
I do think Utah is great, but I don't know. Like, you see him go to Arizona last year and just get absolutely murdered. So
That's without Cam Rising.
Yeah, that's what
Cam Rising is back. He's right. Man's two for two.
But, you know, they put up like 49 points on us. It wasn't like our offense couldn't do anything, and that's why we lost. It was because we suck. Like, we just got destroyed.
What was the final score of that game?
I have no idea. It was bad. I think we turned it off after the
Well, y'all get them at home.
Yeah.
Get
and y'all's defense was on the field forever.
Yeah. We'll see.
Thanks, yeah. Appreciate it, Bryson. Thank you, man.
All right, go ahead. I'll leave with you guys. Just looking at rugby. Rugby's awesome, man. I think you guys really enjoy it.
Yeah. I think those guys are nuts.
Yeah, I've watched it a couple times, man. It's just, I think you just want to be football players.
I just think y'all are nuts. And I don't really know the rules.
It's cool, though. They're dope. I love watching. Great call, Bryce. Appreciate it, man.
All right, let's go to Tim in California. Tim, talk to us.
Hey, boys.
What up?
Real quick, Cone, you did awesome on the Matt Wall show.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
You need your own one, so that was awesome.
Thank you, man. That was
rugby
fun.
Is awesome. I played 4 years of rugby, and there were less injuries on the rugby field than there are on the football field. Just so even without pads. You learn how to tackle.
Is American football taken from rugby, though?
I feel like rugby.
I mean, isn't American football a combination? I mean, rugby existed before American football. No.
Had to, right? Had to.
Yes, it did.
We took from that and from soccer.
Well, I don't see a lot of people in rugby, you know, leading with their head the way that the guys do in football.
The rule is you have to wrap up and take them to the ground and hold them on the ground. Otherwise, you get up and run again. And if football players would do that, there'd be a lot more guys not missing tackles.
Yeah.
Anyway,
makes sense.
Reason I called real quick because you brought up the Bev cart at the beginning of the show. It's kind of an old wives' tale, but people at St. Andrews will still swear by it. Do you know why there's 18 holes of golf?
Dude, I feel like I know.
God, I saw this the other day. Does it have anything to do with whiskey?
Yes.
Are there 18 shots of whiskey? There's 18 shots in a whiskey bottle.
Correct.
No way. How did you know that?
St. Andrews used to be 22 holes.
Mm-hmm.
And people are coming in too drunk. And so they said, we need to start shortening this up. And it was still the only 18-hole golf course in Scotland for a long time. But they shortened
it.
It's a little bit of an old wives' tale, but people in Scotland apparently still absolutely.
Really? Well, what would be the other reason there's 18 holes? It's such a weird number to follow. I feel like it has to have some backstory like that.
Yeah, it was basically, you know, what people say is like they ran out of room, so it, you know, turn around and come back the other way. That's how St. Andrews laid out, play nine out, nine back.
Yeah.
But, they say it's too many drunk people on the golf course.
I'm learning so much about, like, golf alcohol history today. It's just
That's just one of those things, like, you just find a random fact, and you're like, you know, I don't know if I'll ever need this in life.
But I'm glad
it's cool that I learned it, and then it just shows up.
Yeah, it's kind of like learning how to write
it, Tim.
Cursive. Teachers lied to me the whole time.
Appreciate it, man.
Call in again soon. All right, let's go to Jonah in Arkansas. Jonah, what's up on this Monday?
How's it going, y'all?
What's up, man?
First of all, y'all were talking about Dan Skipper earlier, and I actually played against that dude in high school. Super, super nice guy.
Super nice,
dude,
like
but great guy.
Yeah, like the what's the big blue thing from Monsters Inc.?
Like he's nice. Sully.
Sully is nice until he rips your arm.
Those are the guys that were the nice ones. Scare me.
Yeah.
Like big was he again?
6'10",
340.
And he was about that size, little thinner in high school, but he was about that tall.
Hey, I'll tell you something crazy, though. My junior year of high school, we played McGill Tulin.
Oh.
And DJ Fluker, okay, was on that team. And DJ's, I don't know if he's still with the Chargers right now. He obviously played at Bama. He's like the number one offensive tackle, like 6'7", 335. Dude, I had to block. Had to block him on a couple plays. And his hands, he put his hands on me one time.
Jake said he looked up and saw his knee.
Yeah, I got put my hand in the ground. And like typically you look up, you see somebody else's face mask, right? You're like, you want to know how just disheartening it is when the whole week the coach is like, listen, he's three times your size, but you can he doesn't play with
great leverage. You can get leverage on him.
So and like you have to trick yourself, like brainwash yourself into believing that. But when you got in and you put your hand in the ground and you look up, and instead of a face, you see a knee pad.
It's not
just
good.
Right there. And then you look up and then you see the rest of them. And then they snap the ball and he puts his hand on the middle of your chest. And grabs you like a child, like my dog grabs one of the toys we got, just shakes it around like that. I was like a little rag doll. So
was that your experience, Jonah?
No, I played on offense, so I didn't play. I didn't go up against him. Thankfully.
Well, I was gonna say, Jonah, was that the whale you got lost in? They had to pull you out of. Was it Dan Skipper?
It's pretty close. Yeah, we also had to play against Christian McCaffrey, but that's a different story. But I'll get to the real reason I called in. But I see where y'all are coming from with your distrust of the Colorado Buffaloes, but I don't know. They're being a lot better team and in a conference that I think they'll be more competitive in. I think they at least get bowl eligible this week, this year. And Jake, if you're willing, I'm willing to put a bet on the Nebraska and UCF game with you, since y'all have been talking those two teams up.
Nebraska Colorado game is going to be wild.
Wait,
now.
So you're saying a bet like I think Nebraska and UCF will both beat Colorado? Is that the bet you're talking about?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so how do you want this to happen? Because I'm listening. First, you have my curiosity. Right. Now you have my attention.
So if Colorado beats Nebraska and UCF, I have a Colorado hat that I will be willing to mail you that you'd have to wear for an entire show.
Yeah, sure. And now what happens when they don't?
I'll make a $100 donation to the show.
Sold. Deal.
Wow.
Deal.
Deal.
Right, so hold on. Deal.
What happens quick. If they split?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If it's a, is it, if
we
it's
kill
a split,
David.
It's a push.
I don't want to die.
Okay.
No, it's all or nothing. So if it's split, it's a wash.
If it's split, it's a wash.
Like that.
That's a deal. That's
I like
a,
that.
That's a deal.
We need to keep track of the bets we make.
I know. Because you've got a couple today.
On the board back there.
You got the two hot chip. If Colorado makes it to the Big 12 championship.
But what if they don't? What do I get? You got to eat one.
No, I don't.
You got to eat two.
No, I don't. It was just a you thing, not a me thing.
Yeah.
So like, what do I have to gain from this, though? What do I get?
Yeah. You're going to be right.
You should have asked that before you said
yeah, you signed it.
I'm going to be
you
right.
You signed the paper, dog.
Is that great. Your signature right there?
Yeah. Huh? Great. Damn it.
Great call.
Thanks, Jonah.
Good stuff, Jonah. Oh, thank man. You. All right, let's go to Fleming in Oregon. Fleming, what do you got for us today?
Not much. Colorado sucks, but what? I just have a question. I don't know if you guys can answer it.
Okay.
But on the PGA.
Okay.
If you're playing with a buddy, are they allowed to bet? Like, I bet you $20 I beat you. That sort of thing.
Are you talking about
the players
PGA
on tour?
Like, if they can make side bets against each other?
No.
I don't know. I don't think so. Now, I do know that they will when they're not playing, obviously, in an official capacity for the PGA Tour. Hell, I know Xander Schauffele went and played Michael Jordan the other day. But as far as, like, the John Deere that we saw with Thompson, who actually graduated from Auburn, shooting almost 30-under, he couldn't have looked at Cole and been like, hey, let's go $20 a hole.
Yeah, if they do it, they have to sneak it.
Yeah, but like they're so locked in and focused.
Yeah, it'd have to be a sneaky thing. If you did see it, it'd probably be from some veteran guys.
It'd be something John Daly would
do. Some older guys John would Daly. Do, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. It says in 2021, PGA Tour Integrity Program clearly lays out certain rules for its players, also has a list of violations. Betting or aiding betting is not allowed in any form in professional.
What about LIV?
Yeah, if you're talking LIV Tour, there's probably maybe. Something there. They'll do it.
Maybe.
They'll do anything.
Money buried around the course.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it, man. Great call.
Shake.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. I'm excited. Just hope it, she looks like my wife. Please. I know we all hope that. Please.
All right, let's go to Timothy in Green Bay. Timothy, what's up?
How you guys doing?
Tim, what's up, Tim?
Buddy?
Got a couple questions for you. First, though, a couple weeks ago when you guys were talking about the weather stuff, I have a question. How come you guys never brought up cold weather? You guys talked about altitude and heat, but nothing about cold weather. I feel like you Southern boys would do pretty bad up north.
Well,
I played football at Michigan.
Yeah, David played football at Michigan. I feel like altitude and cold weather almost come together.
Well, I don't think it was. I think the reason we were making that comparison because we were talking about Florida playing Utah. So what would be worse, going to play Utah in elevation or Utah going down to play in humidity? Now, I think what you're talking about is what we talked about earlier with USC going into the Big Ten. I would much rather play and I would rather just not be cold. I'd rather play in elevation or extreme heat. I hate cold. I hate playing baseball in cold. Okay. I hate playing football in cold. I hate playing golf in cold. The only thing I like cold is my beer and my comebacks.
I just want to make sure. I want to make sure you guys weren't dismissing it.
No. Not at all. That's why I think any team up north that has a dome is stupid.
Mm-hmm. I played in games so cold I couldn't button my chin strap.
Yeah, I went and played at Western Colorado, dogs. The highest
elevator. Yeah, Blaine played next to where the Grinch
lived. I got out there, it's -13 degrees.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And then this is kind of awkward because a couple callers ago also made a bet with you, but I got a bet for you, Jake.
Do it, Tim.
Yes, come, please.
What is it?
Since I've been talking up my Big Ten, you've been talking your SEC, first 2 weeks, I got USC beating LSU and Michigan beating Texas. Would you be willing to bet the other side?
So you're saying that Michigan and USC are going to win?
Yeah.
Right? I'll bet the other side of that. I'll say give me LSU and Texas. And here's the question, what's the bet going to be? I'm not eating another hot chip outside of the bet I made.
No. This one's a little bit tamer. I'll be willing $30 donation if I lose. Okay. And if I win, just something like a T-shirt from the merch.
Easy. Gosh, easy. Like.
Yeah, don't easy. Ask me. It'll never easy. Happen.
Dog. Tim, that's done.
Yeah,
so
that's
you're taking USC, all right, and Lincoln Riley to beat LSU, and then you're taking Michigan to beat Texas both. So if we split, right, then it's a push.
You get half a shirt.
Yeah.
You get a crop top.
I'll send you some whitey.
You get a tearaway shirt.
Crane and Company Whitey Tidies.
Just got to stop.
Yeah.
Hey, all right. I want to give you one more cool thing I want to tell you guys. I'm going to be going to school at a Division II football, and I'll be coaching as well. So starting my career up.
Nice, where are you going, man? Yeah. Where are you going?
Concordia, St. Paul. I'll be coaching.
I know Concordia. Yeah, dude, congratulations,
well, hey, man,
bro.
Any help you need, dude, just let us know.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah, thank you guys.
Congrats,
see you,
buddy.
Thank you, man. All right, let's go to Kendall in Illinois. Kendall, what's up?
What's up, boys?
What's up,
buddy?
How you guys doing?
Good, man. How are you?
Man, Monday fun day. You know what time it is.
You know, Monday fun day. It's War Chant, by the way, in the chat.
Gotcha.
Wanted to talk a little bit of Illinois football, but I have to talk about Brad Underwood real quick for Illinois basketball and how he reloaded. Like I've never seen a coach pull off all that. He lost everyone but two players on the entire staff. It just blows my mind how he was able to pull that off.
Well, I know
what your guys' thoughts are.
Coleman Hawkins is gone, right? Coleman Hawkins.
Yeah, he
is
went
gone.
To K-State.
And then Terrence Shannon, that poor guy. Thank goodness got drafted. Got that found out. You know that those charges were made up. I mean, God. Outside of that. You know, is Brad Underwood? I was shocked y'all didn't go a little bit further in the tournament. By the way, I had just because I thought Shannon is so incredible on offense. What about that white? What about the white guy y'all got that looks like he wouldn't be any good, but he's just cold? I'm trying to remember his name. He's foreign.
Of course he is.
Like
you know, gosh, dang it, he's from, you know, Domas.
Domas.
I can't think of his name. I'm driving right now. I don't want to get a ticket, but.
Damask. Marcus Damask.
You're talking about Marcus Damask. I'm sorry. Yeah. He's from Wisconsin.
I swear y'all had a foreign player, a white dude, I think played the three, who like never did everything. It looked like in slow motion, but it always worked. Maybe it's from Wisconsin.
Yeah, that was Damask. He played the booty ball all the time, and he scored that was him. Against Wisconsin and all that That's stuff. Him. Yeah, it was Damask.
That's him.
So, then real quick, I'll let other people get on. David, October 19th, Michigan, Illinois.
Ooh.
I know Champaign's only 5.5 hour drive away from Nashville. Guys, come on up. Guys can tailgate with us. Probably get a lot of crap from us.
What's an Illinois football game like? Are y'all turning up or what?
I played them there night, man. They were good with Juice Williams, too.
Tell my fun guy to watch. Jesus.
Yeah.
I love me some
people. They were good, man.
I mean, I'd love to go catch a game, man.
Well, here's the deal. We have the most boring fan base in ever. I hate our fan base so bad. We sit down. No one stands up. I'm the only dude with my buddy. We stand up. We yell. We scream. And then I just see a bunch of old people.
Is Illinois' fan base just really old? Is it like one of those neighborhoods you live in, like where one street just everybody gets old at the same time? Yeah. It's like my grandparents, my grandmother lives on a street like that where everybody is like 100 years old. I'm talking about on our mom's side, like in Birmingham. Like everybody's like the ambulance goes by every day. It's like, oh man, Rick finally died. He was 240. Like it just everybody's so old.
Is that how it is at Illinois games?
Well, kinda. I mean, the food's good. I don't have a problem.
Well, they're
with
old. Look, old,
hey, at least the food's good. All right,
especially when you eat at 4.
Look, hey, we'll be there.
I'm down.
Yeah, we're down.
I would love to.
If you guys want to come, you have an open invitation to our tailgate party. Okay.
Hey, look, I'm going to Cincinnati Saturday, so I can kind of. I'm kind of close.
Hell yeah!
Appreciate it, Kendall.
Great call.
We'll see you. We're just gonna show up.
Thanks so much. All right, last caller of the day. Let's go to Jimmy in Kansas. Jimmy, what's going on in Kansas
the
today?
Singer?
What's up?
Jimmy.
What's up, Jimmy?
Okay, so I have some questions about College Football 25. Do you have any concerns about it?
Blaine. I have a lot less concerns since I've seen gameplay.
Yeah, that looked good today. I watched it too. I think a dark horse team, SMU.
Yeah. So we were talking about earlier. I think, I mean, again, and David read their schedule out. I didn't realize that it kind of lined up for him. And again, man, like if I'm SMU, I'm almost worried that Rhett Lashley's going to be gone after 1 year. I'm telling you, this dude, Arkansas is just lining up and looking at the stars, the bouncing balls. But and SMU's got money too. Like they're a private school, correct?
Yeah,
so I got bread.
Yeah, we'll see. But now I'm excited about the game too, though.
Here's a hot take: OU goes 11-1.
Oklahoma?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. I'm
goes 11-1.
All right, let me go pull
that,
up.
Yeah, if that happens,
you guys, everybody keeps on yapping and giving the hype to Texas and forgetting about us.
Would you say, but again, though, if you look at it from a 30,000-foot view, take your fandom out of it for Oklahoma. In year one, that's why I said we got to separate long-term and short-term when we're talking about Texas and Oklahoma and the SEC. Over 5 years, I think it'd be a toss-up. Hell, I might even buy Oklahoma. But year one, going into this league, when you look at what Oklahoma has compared to what Texas has, I don't think it's a stretch to say Texas is in a better situation year one than Oklahoma is.
The only problem I have is the O-line, and that's it.
Yeah, well, that's a big, you know, that's a big problem. That's like, well,
that's
you know,
the only big problem.
I love her, but, you know, she's you know, tried to shoot me with an AR-15 the other day. Like, yeah, it's great. You love her, but that's a huge problem. Yeah,
you just don't want to walk in the SEC with the O-line problem.
And a new quarterback.
Right, that's yeah.
And again, Jackson's going to have some highs and lows, mm-hmm. man. He's going to make some plays, especially with Deion on the outside. Bert.
Schedule. Oh, God.
Go through the schedule real
quick. All right. Week one, you have Temple at home. You have Houston at home. Tulane at home. Tennessee at home. You go to Auburn.
That Tennessee game.
Yeah, I wouldn't put a dub on that quick. Then you have Texas. All right, then you have South Carolina at home.
You go Tennessee, Auburn, Texas.
Mm-hmm. Oh. And Tulane, too. I ain't walking. South Carolina at home.
You're 6-0.
Hold on. South Carolina at home. All right, then you go to Ole Miss. Then you have some easy team at home. Then you go to Missouri. Then you go Alabama at home. Then you go to LSU.
You say in that schedule, the only game you lose is LSU.
Come on, baby. Get a bit of Jimmy.
SEC Media Days must be right around the corner.
I love it.
Hey, I appreciate it. We'll see.
Hey, it's hard to win at night at Death Valley. The toughest
no, it is, but yeah. You know, it's
TA
also
wrong.
Yeah, it's also yeah, hard to win against Tennessee at Auburn, then Texas back, then Missouri and Bama.
Ole Miss.
God, stop hitting him. He's already dead.
He's adapted to a new conference.
We'll see.
We'll see, man. We'll hey, see. I hope y'all do.
Yeah,
man,
I like it.
I'm not rooting against
you. I've got no beef with that.
Great call, man.
Great call. We'll see. We'll check back in. I'm surprised you didn't want to bet me.
Appreciate it, man.
If you eat 5 chips.
Yeah. Like, if you set yourself on fire before 11:30 on a Thursday. All right. Get to bets or we're going to get to donos. All right. Let's throw it up there. Today. Look at me. Look at that father. That girl dad right
You now. Are a father.
Mm-hmm. This is father. Give me the Rangers and Angels Nerfy. That means no run first inning at -115. Then Twins, White Sox, also Nerfy at -110. Listen, we're going right along. We're moving along the train. There's a lot of good vibes, good momentum, but always, David, mentally 0-0.
Well, you know what? Sister Riggs called in. She gave some advice, and I, for one, am going to take it. I am going to bet this, Yerfie. I did not see your bet beforehand. Don't look at me like that. Oh, Braves, D-backs, yes, run in the first inning.
Yes.
-110. And then I'm also going to take Medvedev +5.5 games against center. Wimbledon at -130.
I can't wait to see how this turns out next Friday.
Yeah, next Friday we'll know.
Bring up my bets. I'm taking the Nerfy. Give me Chris Sale.
Whatever that song was. Y'all remember that? I can't remember what it was.
It was called Sale.
It was called Sale.
Sale. -128. David's going full Judas on me. We're going Rangers -1.5 on the road +108. Look, they can play the baseball and they don't let gays in their stadium. I'm fine with it.
Do. What was that? How did the beat go to that?
I don't know. I kind of want to find it and play it.
Yeah.
Chill.
Chris Dale.
All right. Let's get some donations.
No.
Today. Let's go to a $5 donation from a slap of my boss.
Slap of my boss.
$38.25. Just want to stop by and say I love this show. Cone did a great job at hosting Matt Walsh's show. Congrats. Glad to have y'all back. And Jake, congratulations.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, my friend.
$7 donation from Falcon 642. My 11-year-old duck.
Was that a Falcon?
A Falcon.
Okay.
It was a dragon.
Sounds like he's got possessed. God. All right, my 11-year-old daughter, Michaela, has had her first 11v11 soccer tournament this weekend. Mm. She's plays keeper and striker.
God.
And I get a little bit of a motivational speech. Hey, you're a girl dad now, all right?
Yeah, we can do that. What's the name again?
Her name's Michaela.
Michaela.
She's 11.
And now it's playing 11-on-11.
All right. Dremble.
Michaela. First off, playing goalie and striker is one of the most impressive things I've ever seen. It's kind of like pitching to yourself as you hit. But look, now it gets real. It's 11v11, all right? It's time. Time to step up. And look, you don't gotta do too much. You don't gotta overdo it. Just know your dad has your back. Go out and play hard. And you know what? If you're able to play goalie and striker, play shortstop and bat third, I don't know, be the president of the 4-H club and the student council, that's a heck of a resume you're building. I believe in you. And we do here at Crane & Company. Good luck this week.
Let's go, Michaela!
Go, Michaela!
Yeah! Love it. Let's go to a $5 donation from Mr. Ohio. He says Ohio State will go undefeated and win the national championship, and Cone sucks.
Well, Mr. Ohio, hey, we appreciate the donut.
It must be football season.
Yes, sir.
Baby.
I will say it again. This is the only prediction I've made. This is one you can bookmark. I'm sure you will. And did Oregon let me down when I picked them last year a couple times? Yes, yeah, Dan.
At least you didn't pick them to beat Georgia week one.
Yeah, that was bad. They got their ass beat to death in that game. Oregon will beat Ohio State during the regular season in Eugene. All right? I'm not saying Big Ten championship game because they may meet again. Right? Same, same, but different. But still same. Give me Oregon at home.
Mm. $2 donation from Shepherd Ducks. Says we need a quick October 12th prediction.
October 12th?
October 12th.
What's that does nothing for me. It's going to rain. Well, there's going to be...
October 12th? It has to be a football game, I'm guessing.
Yeah. What do you got over there, David?
You got anything cool?
October 12th, we got South Carolina against Alabama. We got Tennessee against Florida. Mississippi State against Georgia. Mm-hmm. Vanderbilt, Kentucky. Barn burner. Ole Miss, LSU.
Oh.
State. We got UMass, Missouri. Oh, Red River Shootout.
Okay.
Red River
Texas,
Shootout.
Texas, Oklahoma.
Texas, Oklahoma.
You're going to have to wait for that one, buddy. You're going to have to wait until after fall camp. Just need again. Need to make sure, see who gets injured, who gets arrested. And y'all laughed when I said that, and then, like, Ollie Gordon got arrested, like, 3 days later. I'm telling you, that's why. But the only one I'll make, Oregon wins. Ohio State loses regular season at Oregon. Like, doing my hand.
Little preview.
Let's go to a $5 donation from Matt Riley. He says, loving the show, fellas. Big shout-out to Cone for killing it last week.
Yep.
Yeah, Cone E. $50 donation from Charles Dawson, a 50-burger.
Oh,
Charles, let's get excited.
Say something to me, Charles.
I'm excited about this. From the dad of three girls.
Yes.
The greatest thing just happened to you. I want you to know what went through your head when you saw the pink because you had the biggest oh crap look on your face. Again, congrats, Reed and Viola.
Charles, thanks, buddy. He sent me a great message too on social. No, I knew it was going to be a girl. Like, I had a dream it was a girl. I thought it was going to be a girl. And if you see the video, the gender reveal, when I hit it, I was more concentrating on just hitting the ball. Like, it took me a second to register what the color was that it hit it because it made, like, such a different sound. Like
such
hitting
a big
it.
Moment.
But my wife, you can see her, is just ecstatic behind me. She's like, it's going to be a mini-me. We all hope.
All right, let's go to a $5 donation. Dennis Feinstein, CEO, UGA to win it all. But I hope Lanning and the Ducks take the Big Ten. Kirby versus Dan.
It's
in the net.
Mm. That one smells. I don't know. I walk in the kitchen. I just smell Kirby Smart playing Dan Lanning in the national championship game. I don't know. Again, nothing official yet. But we could it be a situation where, you know, Georgia's playing, I don't know, somebody in a semifinal game, and then Oregon has to play Ohio State, right? Only one team can come out of that.
All right. Everybody who donated today, thank you so much. Let's get to this poll.
Poll.
Which new team will win their conference first? Texas, Utah, Oregon, other.
Oh, you did put other?
Texas, Utah, Oregon, other. I think they're going to listen to me. I think the Booster Club's going to go Utah 44%.
Man, Utah's a good pick. I'll go with Oregon, 38%.
All right. Other, 5%. Texas, 17%. Utah, 38%. Oregon, 40%.
Wow.
40%.
Okay. 40%.
I don't think that's crazy, though. You can talk me into that one. All right, we appreciate you guys. Everybody that called in, everybody that donated, everybody just in the chat, we're so glad to be back live. We got media days coming up. I know some people say it's a quote-unquote slow time in sports, but it's never a slow time. It's never a slow time when you're with Crane & Company. And like the chances, right, of I see you
I'm gonna hit this
over
bar.
There. Oh, real quick, shout out BetOnline, Lumen, and Shopify. But like the chances of don't hit me in the face
I'm gonna try
of
not.
Colorado winning the Big 12. We're going. Gone.
Yes! Come on! I do
nice
this!
Shot.
Gone.
Nice shot.